Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I liked that. My name is Nick Burkhart, and some of you I know, some of you I don't know. I looked it up. The last time I had the privilege of speaking here was in 2014, and man, you know, life's been busy, which is good. Life's been awesome. Life's been tough. Life's been good. Life's been tough. You know, that roller coaster. But I'm blessed to be able to be here today and just to be able to kind of share with you and to speak. Blessed that Heath would think of me to do that. So anyway, let's start this way. It's 1994, the summer of 1994. I'm 14 years old. I love Nirvana. I love skateboarding. I'm not supposed to love Nirvana. My dad's a youth pastor. I wasn't supposed to listen to any secular music, but I would sneak it at, you know, at school or with friends when we're out, and it was like, oh, this is awesome. Love playing my guitar. But I, in the course of going to youth group, I found my first love. I found a girl that I was so happy that she asked me out, and whatever out is at 14, my parents would drive me to her place once, I think, a month during the summer. She lived 40 miles away. And really, in that time, in 1994, if you think about it, there's no text, there's no internet. I mean, not most people have internet. We definitely didn't have internet. So you have three ways of communication. You've got, I'll write a letter and send it in the mail, and like 5 weeks later, you get another letter back, however that worked. I don't even remember. It's been so long. Or you got a telephone, a home line you can call. And honestly, for me, I probably had girlfriends before this. I know this is a weird way to start. But bear with me. I probably had girlfriends before this, but I know that for me, having a girlfriend was the one that I would never talk to. I would be too embarrassed to even sit next to her in youth group. I would know that we were going out or whatever that meant, but it just really meant that I was more awkward than I was before. Because before I was trying to like, hey, you like me, right? Yay! And then afterwards, it's like, oh, she likes me. But then I'm 14. I'm growing up, and the summer was amazing. It was awesome. It was great. The few times, I mean, if I really think about it, it was probably like twice a month that we ever even saw each other, besides like youth group night. But youth group was awesome. But then school started. So we get into school again. She lived 40 miles away. It's a different school. The communication went even a little lower. And one day I went to youth group. When she came to youth group, she sat in front of me, right next to my best friend, and had his baseball jersey on with his last name on it. And I was crushed. Just devastated. I'd never experienced such a traumatic event. I know. But afterwards, the church that I went to, my parents had kind of, was a part of a church plant, if you will, and it was like an old school in the middle of a small town in Ohio. And it was, the youth room was like everything, like the shop class was in, so it's this back room that had all these different, it was cool, it was really awesome. Especially as a kid when you get to explore and kind of have fun in there. But we went to one of the side rooms, and I was, why do you have that shirt on? That's Jason's shirt. I wasn't going to name names, darn it. So anyway, and she went over about like, well, it's long distance, and you know, maybe soon when you have your license and a car, you can come, we can hang out more. You know, obviously, school's in session, so there's more people to be around. And that love faded. Whatever that love was. And it ended with her basically saying, it's not you, it's me. Oh, how do you respond? But that is the message, or the title of the message that I wanted to share with you today. It's not you, it's me. And it's not going to be about my relationships, you know. I just wanted to use that as a point. And if you think about today, I mean, fast forward to 2018, what a weird and crazy awesome, but crazy scary world we live in, right? We have supercomputers in our pocket right now that we can Google anything we want. Who was the first person to invent the can of Pepsi? Oh, they'll tell you. If I'm not careful, Siri will tell me right now, even though I don't want her to. Have you ever said serious? Oh, I got it through with it. Sometimes I'll just say, seriously? And then Siri's like, yes? Like, well, no. But it's also a scary time, right? I mean, the power was Spider-Man. The responsibility, with comes with power comes great responsibility. As parents especially, because What you can see great in here, you can also see horrible, if you want. At ease, at will. Horrible things, really bad things. Disgusting things, gross things. You know what, and I'm not going to spend time on that too much today, but you know, one thing that does strike me is, you know, social media. You know, I try and stay out of posting anything of political or, let me just do this, for example. If I said Donald Trump right now, isn't it awkward? Like, because like, there's some people that are like, oh yeah, like, what a great thing he's done for the country. And others are like, I hate that guy. Like, I wish he would have, how did we as a country get him? Others just don't care. It doesn't even matter. But there's so many polarizing opposite views, and not everybody's view is the same. You might believe a little bit of the same, but still there's this much. And with the freedom that we have through Facebook and Twitter and whatever the other ones that we have are, and there's a ton, we have the option to, without thought, just, here's what my thoughts are. Here's what you should think. Here's what you should think. And sometimes there's some great points, and most of the time there's not. And every time that you post, there's going to be somebody that has the same belief and is going to say, that's right. And then somebody else is going to be like, that's horrible. Why would you say that? And then all of a sudden there's a feed that just keeps growing of people that don't even know each other saying like, well, why do you listen to this guy? He's an idiot. Well, this guy's an idiot. And it just grows and grows and grows. And what was the point of the first post in the beginning? Was it going to change people? Were they really going to be like, oh, that's a great point. I should change everything I believe in because of what you said right there. Nope, that doesn't usually happen. So in thinking about this, I don't want it to feel like I'm saying, hey, quit posting on Facebook. That's not my message. Post on Facebook. I like to enjoy it. I laugh at you if you're dumb. And see, now I'm judging. So there it is. I was thinking of this because, you know, as people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus calls us to a weird place. He calls us to a place that the foundation of everything is love. And it's so easy that we can forget that when we get upset by somebody with what they post or what they write or what they say or what they've done. Maybe they've done something. Maybe it's not even about Facebook. Maybe it's just life. Maybe somebody has said something to you and it's been 5 years and it's still that baggage around your neck. You're like, oh, I hope I never see them. It's your brother, dude. Like, you're going to see him. You know, maybe it's somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody did something wrong. Maybe somebody has said things and have beliefs that are really, really wrong. Racist, misogynistic, you know, bad stuff, horrible stuff. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to be around them at all either. Or maybe it's easy to call out people like I just did, if you're dumb, you know? Maybe it's easy to point the finger and say, man, look at them. Look at what they're doing. Out there partying. Look at them. And then you're telling people. Maybe it's the hurt that sometimes we bear that we continue to think about. Maybe, here's one that I'm guilty of. Maybe it's assuming people are, like, you're at work and somebody walks by and they didn't look at you. You're not even in a conversation with them. Maybe they just walked by you, they didn't look happy, and they walked to their next thing, and then you think, I bet they're mad at me. I do that. Why are they mad at me? I wonder what I did. I bet I did something. And then you start thinking about what you did and you start putting those words in your mind. Oh, I bet it was that time when I talked so much that they got in a 30-second conversation that lasted 5 minutes. I bet they hated that. I bet they thought, why did I talk to Nick? He just doesn't stop. He just keeps going. I bet they hate me because of that. And then you, over time, you're thinking about it. You're building onto that story. Oh, you know what, too? I bet my loud car annoys the crap out of them. I bet when I drive in and they hear my exhaust, they're like, oh, here comes Nick. And then the next time you see him 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, man, did I do something? I'm sorry. Have I done something to you? What are you talking about? No, not at all. And then you've wasted 2 weeks dwelling on what you probably did. There's a lot of things I'm saying right now. And here's what I wanted to say. Here's the meaning for my message. A lot of times, if we internalize and we hold on to things and we carry baggage, sometimes it might even be right. Sometimes it might be people who have said things and done things to you that are wrong and should never have been said. Sometimes it could be physical and you've been attacked or things that have been completely wrong to you and justifiable why you would hold on to that. Like, no, this person is wrong and this person is bad. Make sure you stay away from them. Make sure blah, 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 you know? And you might even be able to find justification in posting things or saying things or meeting with people and saying, hey, this is a situation that, whatever, I'm kind of trailing now. But here's my point in the matter. Most of the time, every time, when you internalize things and you take it upon yourself to point and say, like, this is wrong, they're wrong, oftentimes, much like the posts on Facebook, you're not solving the situation, are you? You're reminding people why you're hurt. Listen, I have the right to be hurt. I have the right. This is what somebody did to me, and this is why it hurts. I should be angry, and you should be angry too because of this and that and this. But man, I remember when I got saved. I cherish that day. I as a drug user, I wouldn't say addict, but I was. As an addict of other things too, cigarettes and all these other things that whatever consume me. I wanted to do drugs, and I lived to go to raves, and I lived to party. That's all I wanted to do. And as my dad was a pastor, it meant that I said, I don't care about what you want me to do. And I saw love through my parents that I didn't deserve. I saw this love that was uncomfortable for me. Because they didn't yell at me and say, Nick, you know what? You're going straight to hell. And other people that I knew probably did. And then I put my blame on the church then even more. Like, look at these guys. They don't even know what they're talking about. I'm going to hell. Okay, well, why would I want to come to a church where you're going to tell me how bad I am? Like, I'm not going to do that. This is why I don't believe. And so God showed up in my life. And I remember that night. I remember driving to youth group. Well, my parents, actually, I moved back in with them because I got evicted from my house because we were having too many parties. And so I moved back in with them, much to their, like, I guess we have to. Let me come back. And they would always say, hey, Nick, why don't you come to church with us? Nope. I'm good, man. Nope. Thanks. I'm not going there. Never. Ever, ever. Until finally one time, I was like, all right, I'll go. This will make mom and dad happy. I think I wanted to go to a concert the next weekend. So maybe if I win a little, you know, brownie points, if I go to church with them and sit through this, I can go back and hang out later. And then they'll let me go see Tool or something that next weekend. And give me money to do it. So I remember showing up, and I remember feeling physically the baggage. I remember sitting in my car and thinking, I can still turn around. I don't have to go in there. I can still turn around, and I can get out of here because I don't want to be there. I don't want to be here. And I know now that God was like, you're going to be here. And my flesh was crying out, don't be there. So I went in and saw some people that I knew, and I talked to them. And I don't even remember what the sermon was about. But I do remember this. I remember sitting in probably the middle of the sanctuary with kids. It was a youth group service, so there's kids all around me. He was in the middle of a sermon, and I am just fighting it. And he stops. Now my dad is a Pastor Byron. This is now the lead pastor of my dad's church in Ohio, but at the time he was a youth pastor. And he said, Nick, it's so good to see you. And I'm already crying. Hey, he goes, you need prayer, don't you? And that moment, I said, yeah, I do. I'm tired of being angry, and I'm tired of holding on to the things and labeling people and you know, everybody there I hated when I got there. And then I got wrecked. And he prayed for me, and I was just, that moment, my life changed. Everything about me changed that moment. Quit smoking cigarettes. I quit doing drugs. Everything changed in a moment. Well, 5 hours. I think I was there like 5 hours, like crying it out and then laughing it out at the end. And then it was just a whole new Nick. I was so passionate. I came up out of there like a proverbial baptism. I walked out of there with a whole new mission on life. I went in there thinking, okay, where can I get a bag of weed when I get home? To leave in there thinking, who can I tell about Jesus? And that's 100% fact. And I spent a long time, that's all I did. Annoyingly, probably to some, but I didn't want to just say, hey, dude, you're going to hell. I want to say, hey, I love you. I love you. Man, let me tell you about what happened with me. Let me tell you. And some of my friends, a lot of my friends, didn't want anything to do with me. Because that same pull on their heart that was going on with mine when I went to youth group is the effect of the presence of God when you come into a place. when he is heavy in you and he has breathed that seed of life into you and replaced all the junk and it's overflowing. It's overflowing. So when you say, man, it's so good to see you. I love you. Man, let me tell you my story. Some people are going to be like, yeah, I need to hear it. Or yeah, that's awesome. Good job, Nick. I knew that you were going through some stuff. But others are like, get away from me, dude. Maybe they didn't say it directly that way. Some did. Some did. But others just like, don't take his call anymore. But then I saw him later, you know, but I just continued because that's all I knew. Like, it's like, okay, this is life now. Like, there's no other thing. Like, I just want to share the love of God with every single person. Now, as I get older and do life and I'm focusing on my career and focusing on stuff for me and stuff for my family, how easy is it for my flesh to just kind of flip and be like, okay, where my focus, where existence and life meant at this cross where Jesus died and rose again. And as he did that, he was thinking of me. He was thinking of you. God said that he thought of you before the building of the earth, before the creation of our planet. He was thinking of you, and he was thinking of you, and he knew the things that you were going to do, and he knew the callings that were in your life, and he knew the people that you were going to touch, because there's a plan bigger than just saying, I want to get to heaven. There's a plan that's bigger than I want to get saved just so that I don't burn in hell. No, it's great. We're going to be in heaven someday. We are. But what's even greater is that we get the freedom, no matter what the situation that we live on this world, no matter if we're in an amazing spot and things are great, or we just lost our job and we have no idea how we're going to get lunch today, God is still breathing life into that situation where we can, in the midst of what really should be bad times, God can breathe hope and love and peace to where the overflow of that birthed seed in your heart of his freedom is a wake behind us that reaches and touches every person that we come in contact with. On the flip side, if we can turn and we hold on to those baggage and we have the right to be right because that person over there offended me and I am upset with them, even if we're right, we turn and we say, listen, they need to change. Whatever. But God's saying, no, it's not you, it's me. Through God, in me, it's not you, it's me. Even if you've offended me or done things horribly. And here's what I mean by that. As I take away the want and desire to say, hey, post this on Facebook, look at this person, post this, here's why he's wrong, here's why the world stinks, here's why everything's awful. Instead, if I turn and I find myself here, it brings me back to the day that he came into my heart. It brings me back to that moment where everything about life was about preaching this through the actions of my day. And by doing that, because I don't think that there's some things that really, again, are bad. I mean, if things are bad, God needs to change that. But here's how God changes it. Here's how God changes it. As I'm on my knees and I'm fervently seeking the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus, the byproduct of the sonship that we have with Jesus is the overflow of his righteousness that affects and touches others, much like it did for me when I got called out and prayed. And so as I seek and I press into what God is doing in my heart, I'm not dwelling on why somebody has offended me. Instead, I am pushing into the love of Jesus that in a result touches them, even when I don't know that. For example, if somebody, called me all these names on Facebook. They punched me in the face the first time they saw me. Whatever, I don't know. Think of something bad and that's it. And let's say that I have every right to be upset with them. But instead, when I see them, even though I don't want to, but because the power of Jesus is in me, it's like, man, how are you doing, man? I love you. I hope everything's well. It's encouragement. It is speaking life into them, even though maybe you'd think they don't deserve it. But I didn't deserve it either. Let me read a scripture. It's that would be a good thing, right? Scripture. Second Corinthians 5:14-21, and I'm really going to stick with 14 and 15 for now. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Basically, he's saying this. Listen, when you accept this life, to know the hope, to know the freedom that God brings in a moment's notice, then you are no longer, I'm no longer Nick Burkhart. I am. Taken out of context and be like, well, that's kind of a weird religion. He's like, no longer himself. But inside of me, the life that's breathing in me, I am now someone who is represents Jesus, represents the kingdom of heaven, and is called to make a difference in people's lives everywhere I go. And that's only done through the power of Jesus and the love that he breathes into you. The love that he overwhelms you like an overflowing cup that just floods the places that you are. In 16 it says this, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself. Christ, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting on people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Me, a former drug addict looking to do nothing but party and find girls and flee from anything that was holy and righteous, can still, with the admittance in my faith in Jesus, the understanding that I need help, and the trust that God is the answer to radically being changed, radically being saved, automatically my mission is now not for me. Yes, I want to feel that way all the time, but I want to be, my ministry is now a ministry of reconciliation, is bringing people into the grips of the reality that God has called each one of you. And not only each one of you, God has called people that are in your workplace. God has called people that are in your family. God has called the people that are in your life that have hurt you. He has a plan for them, and he has things that are going to be accomplished in the kingdom of God through them, even though it's hard to even think about them. Sometimes it's difficult, and you can shackle yourself in and be overcome by anger and bitterness. But let me tell you something. The devil wants you to be so wrapped up in the right to be right that you forget who you were called to be. You know that? The devil wants you to be so wrapped up in the hurt that you have that you forget why he saved you in the first place. The devil wants you to be so angry and so bitter about so many things because it will help you not remember that God has called you by name, that you are here for a purpose, that he has a plan for your life, that he has the people in your life that you need to minister to, not even through words. You might be thinking, Nick, I don't like talking to people. Awesome. Tell them whatever. Hug them. I don't know. You know what the coolest thing is? I have known so many people in my life that I lean on that it wasn't even them speaking to me. It was them just being. Just being. It was coming into a place where I saw my friend Ryan, and his smile reminded me of the love of Christ. He didn't even have to say a word. I knew that God was all over him. I loved hearing the stories about where he had been and things that he had done. And he wants to give you that same ministry. But it starts here. It starts here. It starts saying, I know that they hurt me. Or I know that opinion is it makes me feel really angry. And I want nothing else more to get rid of it. But Lord, it's not them, it's me. Lord, start with me. Clear my heart. Remind me why you called me. Remind me that I'm yours. Remind me that I'm made in your image. Remind me that you know every hair on my head. Remind me that you have called me to greatness, that you have put me in a place to succeed. Remind me that the victory's already won, that all I have to do is accept it. Remind me, because in that you start to forget about why you're offended. In that, you start to forget about what people have done to you, and you start to love and love and love. And not everybody's going to get it. That's okay. Todd White is a... I love listening to Todd White. And I will tell you, I started listening to him, and I judged him, like, before I even heard him. He's got huge dreads. He's crazy radical. And I loved the band Korn when I was growing up. And so I was saved for a while. And I remember Brian Welch, who goes by the name Head, was the guitar player for Korn and got radically saved from a drug addiction. I mean, very similar to my story, probably a little bit more extreme, being a huge rock star. And God changed him. God hammered him. And he had like a I Am Second video, which is like a lot of famous people that got saved have like these videos called I Am Second. I think there's still a website. But it was a really, really good testimony of where he had been and like what he had been saved from and what he was doing. And then I remember he went back into the band Korn, and I was like, oh, well, he's done. I mean, being around all that stuff again, it's going to be over. But I would see things, and he's ministering. He's get Fieldy, which is the bass player, gets saved. And, you know, all these things are happening. And then I see this video of Todd White, and before I see it, I see that Fieldy and Head are, it's the behind scenes of a Korn concert afterwards, and Todd White was there. And I thought, oh, who is this guy? This is, oh, I mean, he's gonna bring Brian down the wrong road. I mean, so selfish. So why do we automatically go to that instead of thinking, man, I wonder what God's doing? So anyway, I watched the video, and here he is prophesying to people and getting people saved that were just people there to see a Korn concert. And afterwards, they let people come all in the back, and he was just calling people out, and people were just pouring in to know Jesus. Like, can you imagine showing up to you probably smoked some weed before you went to the show, and you're all like, don't care about anything, and after the show, God called them out into a place of holiness and righteousness at a Korn concert. So I watched Todd White do this, and I was like, this dude's amazing. So I started with judging, who's this weirdo, to, man, this guy is awesome. And went a while later, and probably a year ago, my buddy from Michigan posted a video of him speaking. It's like a 2-hour long or 3-hour long sermon, which I think that's what we're going to do today. So buckle down. No, just joking. But I watched every moment of it. I shared it with my family. I know, Nick, you just said don't share things on. No, it was a text message thing. But I was like, listen, guys, I literally was wrecked at work. I mean, he just spoke truth and nonstop truth. And the things were so basic, but so right, so absent of human thought, just straight to the Bible, and here's why God has called us here, and do it. Live it. Live it. Be it. Be the ambassador. And here's the thing that he said, if I don't know if it pops up or not, but this is the word. So I'm ADD, and now all of you are too. So it says this. And he says this in a lot of different ways a lot of times that he speaks, but this is one that I pulled off of the web. But it doesn't matter what people say or what people think, because it's not about you. I don't have the right to be offended, because my mind is not mine any longer, but instead I have the mind of Christ. Whoa! How freeing is that? How freeing is it to not care about what people think? And not in a bad way. Not to not give anything and just to do what you want. But in a way that you know you have the answer to the problems that they have. No matter what it is, it's the hope of glory inside of you, birthed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. What? That changes the world. That changes the world. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody believes, the foundation of our relationship with Jesus is love. That's it. Jesus said when he asked, what's the greatest commandment? There's two. Love God with all your heart and love people. That's it. Everything else falls in between. So when you hold on to things and you have the right to be upset and you carry that baggage, even though you're justified and you're vindicated in your belief, the wake that you leave behind you, much like a boat, affects people in that manner. You might get some people to side with you and say, yeah, that was wrong. I hate what they do. And you might get some people to say, I think you're wrong. But nobody changes. Instead, you carry and you carry. And you carry. But it's not you, it's me. Instead, if I focus on what God has called me to be and remind myself when I'm weary and I'm picking up my baggage, that, hey, remember that time when you got rid of your drug addiction? It wasn't you. God flips the script and says, hey, it's not, remember, Nick, it's not you. I remember when I wrote the "it's not you, it's me," I was just telling my kids, like, hey, remind me of this tomorrow morning if I forget. Because things have been crazy this week. Like, I had written a whole other sermon, and then I listened to a podcast that was almost identical to what I was writing, and I was like, oh, that sounds like I wrote that from listening to this podcast. So let's scrap that one. And that was yesterday morning, I think. Okay, well, I'll just talk, I guess. But then God started speaking to me through things that we're going through as a family. Through some hard things that we can easily be offended by. And I was talking to a neighbor, and he was talking about something. And I said, man, that's the problem with people from the church, is it's so easy that they can say, but look at that person, how they're living. Can you believe it? Can you believe? I would hate to be their parents. Oh, they're going through all that. And it just struck me as like, really? That's our thought? When we are probably living in things that would be ashamed to even say? That we struggle with things that we should never struggle with when we try and do it on our own? And I said to him, I said, man, but it's not them, it's us. Like, we can point out the faults of others all day long, but what does that do to help solve the situation? There's epidemics all over the world, but the biggest is that people don't know Jesus. Because in Jesus is the salvation for all the things that we deal with. In that true love, and not condemning and condemnation, but in the conviction and the love that brings us through and gives us peace in the moments that we shouldn't have peace. It gives us joy in the moments that we should be sad. Holy smokes, if that works for us, why not everybody? Why not the people that have offended us? Why not rectify that relationship? And I will tell you that posting and saying and getting people on your side so you feel better about it will never solve that relationship. It perpetuates it, and you carry everybody else's baggage with you. The only way that it's done is going back to the beginning and saying, Lord, please make me more like you. Let me seek your face. Let me know your holiness. Let me be a father that is raising kids that love you, Jesus. Let me be a husband that is raising a wife or partnering with a wife and walking side by side to know your holiness. Sorry, raising. But she's raising me, if anything. That's a fact. So in that, again, I know I'm repeating myself. I just want it to be clear. And I truly believe God gave me this word yesterday for today. I truly believe that this is meant to reverberate in your heart for you to meditate on. Prove me wrong. Try it out. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Go pray for the person you're mad at. Come back next week and tell me how it failed you. Please. I would love that. Because here's the deal. I'm sitting in the seats right now with you. I'm blessed that God gave me some words to speak, and I love being passionate about it, but here's the deal. I'm preaching to me right now because I need to let things go too. I was just last night was like offended and hurt by a family member, and it was just a waste of time. It was a waste of time, and it brings me back to Todd's point. I don't have the right to be offended. It's pulling me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, which is loving people and loving God. So chat. Loving God and loving people, that's it. Because in that, in the understanding and listening and discerning of the word of God, the truth comes out. The answers come out. The wisdom to deal with the situation comes out. The door that needs to be opened to rectify a relationship happens. It happens daily. I will tell you that on the flip side, holding on to things and posting things and labeling people and judging people ineffectively and getting people on your side ruins lives. I've seen it ruin families. I've seen it ruin marriages. I've seen it ruin churches. Man, I've seen it ruin churches full of the people of God. But on the flip side, we know that none of it matters except for love God, and through that, love people. And if we can let that rush through us, if we can walk in that on a daily basis, man, your life, your day at work is going to be so much different. I'm not even close to where my notes were. So I'm sorry for Melissa for making you like jump through hoops here. And I don't even know what time I need to be done. But I know that I can't find. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. So this is God. And again, when I was like thinking I was all witty and I came up with this cool phrase, it's not you, it's me. It's like, oh, it's pretty good. I like it. God had to remind me, Nick, but hey, remember, It's not you, it's me. Oh, yeah. Oh, so quickly I can be consumed with what I can do, how much I can do at work, and how people are happy with me, and build my foundation on that. That's just so shallow. One negative comment away from disaster. Oh, it's all over. They hated my spreadsheet. But if my heart is where God is wanting it to be, man, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Yeah, Nick, that's awesome. I'm glad you said all that. But man, I cannot imagine being nice to so-and-so who has offended me, or so-and-so at school or at work that you know, sent this email about me that was totally false. Why would I ever be, like, I don't have the power to just be that. Yeah, you're right. Because it's not you, it's God. It's God saying, hey, it's not you, it's me, it's me. Because you're right, you don't have the power to fix things. The same way that posting things and getting people on your side isn't the fix that you want. The vindication isn't good because you still feel like, but they still are there. They're still there. But when you allow God to work through you, I'm going to say it until we get it, because I believe that the power that will change not only our church, but our families and our city and our nation is in this moment of understanding that we replace the right to be right, the hurt that we have caused or the hurt that somebody else has caused us, to the understanding of what Jesus wants to do in your heart right now. He wants your life to start today. Check this out. This is amazing. Luke 17, 20 and 22. The proud religious law keepers asked when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus said to them, the kingdom of God is not coming in such a way that can be seen with eyes. It will not be said, see it here or there it is. For the kingdom of God is in you. What? You mean this thing that we've been wanting, this thing that we've been hoping to reach, go to heaven, we do good things here, we get to heaven and we have a mansion and we eat cheeseburgers in a gold street somewhere, like on a food truck or something. No, the kingdom of heaven is now and in you, and he wants to remind you and he wants to birth in you that same seed that you experienced when you said yes at the beginning. He wants to remind you that everything else, all the stuff, all the things, all the fame and the whatever is worthless when it's not understanding that simple truth and affecting everybody around you. Man, I love you guys. I'm hoping I can come back and speak sometime. But other than that, I'll be here to worship with you. And I pray beyond everything that you are able to take some of this and meditate on it. Try and prove me wrong. Go out there and love people. Love people. God will open the doors for the people that you are afraid to talk to and will rectify those relationships. He will bridge marriages. He will bridge families. He will bridge all of these things. And he's done it on a continual basis. Man, it's amazing the power that we have in our faith. Father God, I thank you so much for all that you do. I thank you for blessing us and calling us out of the darkness and into your wonderful light. I am so proud to love you because you are the only thing that will change this planet. And I pray that we can righteously walk in you and know that in love through you will change the people in front of us and the people around us. Lord, be with us this week. Take the message and let us impact as many people as possible. Let every person that we come in contact with say, whoa, what is different with them? Why are they so happy it's Monday? Lord, give us an excited Monday morning that is unlike any other and continue through the week. Lord, bring us to know you more and make us not satisfied. Let us leave our baggage here today and never come back to get it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.